RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
You know, teens are notorious for staying up late and being hard to wake up in the morning. And if your teen is no exception, you want to listen here. My guest is Dr. Cora Colette Bruner. She's a professor in adolescent medicine at Seattle Children's Hospital. So, Dr. Bruner, you know, as our kids become teenagers, all of a sudden they're up later than we are. I couldn't even attempt to try and stay up as late as most of the teenagers I know. And then they sleep till noon or one. Is this a decent schedule, or can we put them on a normal schedule? Is that just impossible?
Oh, that's a wonderful question, Melanie. Thank you so much for asking me back on your fabulous show. I think the sleep situation is pretty amazing for everyone, adults and kids, but I would love to chat with about the teenagers. You know, in the olden days, I think the young people were staying up late to guard the villages, while the old people, like myself, would fall asleep early because we had to get up and prepare the food and harvest the wheat. So it is really, really, really difficult to stay up as late as teenagers. I know it is for me, for mine. And one of the things that we do know is that the melatonin surge, which is the hormone that our brain secretes, it pulses later in teenagers than it does in adults. So it does actually pulse an hour or two after their parents, basically. So it's really hard to get a kid to go to sleep before 10 p.m. at night, and sometimes before even 11. And there we get into a big problem, and that is that they do need about 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. 9 is perfect. So if you have a child whose biologic clock, if you will, doesn't get going until 11 p.m., they need 9 hours of sleep. They should be able to get up at 8 a.m. But sadly, many of our schools start at 7:15. And many of our kids like to get up a couple hours earlier to get ready or have to take the bus or even have a before-school band practice. So they're getting probably 5 to 6 hours of sleep per night. And that we have noted over and over again, especially our and drivers, we have noticed that there's an increased number of crashes that occur in kids who get such few hours of sleep per night.
Well, sleep deprivation anyway can cause them not to think as clearly in school, and as you point out, driving, and you know, even their sporting activities, they're not going to be onto it as much. So I, Dr. Bruner, have a 12-year-old son, and right now I'm lucky because 7:30, he is ready for bed, and he's usually tired. So by 8 o'clock, he is asleep in bed. When is that going to change? Because well, I know it's coming around the corner.
It does change, actually, and it's going to change probably in the next 3 or 4 years. It varies a little bit with each child and as they go through puberty, but most of the time, by the time a kid is 15, their clock is set much later than 7:30 and into the 9 to 10. They're just not tired. And one of the things that we have also seen is if you have a kid just lying in bed for over 30 to 40 minutes trying to get to sleep, it's really hard for them to get to sleep because they're just worrying and anxious, and that just sort of triggers a whole cascade of stimulation, which they have a hard time undoing. So it, even though it feels like we need to get them into bed earlier, it may have a negative effect on having kids actually get to sleep if they're not physically or hormonally really tired.
So, okay, on school nights, we certainly want to encourage them to go to bed earlier, but then what about the weekends? You say 11 o'clock, then they want to sleep until noon. My mother used to wake us up to help with the groceries and the laundry on Saturday mornings. Are we supposed to let them sleep till noon?
You know,
and all
our
tiptoe
moms were
around
right.
the house, you
I
know.
I know. Our moms and our grandmoms were right. It's totally, that's what we're supposed to do. I thought that you could catch up. So if you didn't get enough sleep throughout the week, then you could have, quote, catch-up sleep on the weekends. And we have actually proven through a number of really good scientific studies that you can't. You can't catch up.
So we don't have to let them sleep till noon.
No.
Rock
In fact,
on.
It's probably a bad thing because what's going on is you're resetting their biologic clock to being sleeping till noon, so everything gets phase shifted forward by 2 or 3 hours, and then come Monday morning, it's almost impossible for you to get them out of bed. It's like, you know, rousing a rock because it's 3 or 4 hours earlier than they were getting up on Saturdays and Sundays.
And besides which, they're useless when, you know, when they sleep till noon and then you try and get them up early, they're not much good for help. But if you get into that routine where they're just expected to be up by 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning, which still seems late to me, then, you know, at least they can be busy in the day. So how do we work with this circadian rhythm of our teens? Is there any way we can manipulate it?
Well, we can use a really good resource, which is light, and or lack thereof. We have now a lot of light that's streaming right into our eyes, importantly, right before we go to bed, which is not a good idea. So if you have your cell phone or your iPad or whatever, or Nook, whatever bright light is actually on you, that you're looking at very close to your face, it's going right back of your eyes, optic nerves, triggering right straight into the sort of the hypothalamic system where it's not supposed to get that much light. If the brain sees that much light that late at night, it thinks it's daytime. So it's not going to get the brain, not going to secrete the neurohormones such as melatonin and other hormones that allow us to fall asleep. So that's one of the reasons why I really recommend that everything be turned off a good hour before you're actually going to lie down and go to bed. So all lights, all TVs, everything needs to be off in the room that you're trying to go to sleep.
So you just make sure, first of all, parents, the first tip here is to tell your kids nothing electronic, nothing brightly lit, no TV, no electronics, no cell phone and texting for a good hour. What else can we do to try and get them to bed earlier? Can we give them a little chamomile tea, a little warm milk? Here, try this.
You certainly can. And it's called sleep hygiene. But one of the things that we encourage people to is find the thing that works for them, which may be no food an hour and a half before going to bed, no excessive exercise 2 hours before going to bed, no intensive television watching 2 hours before going to bed. And when they do go to bed, that's where they're just supposed to go to sleep in the bed. It shouldn't be a place where they answer you know, text. They shouldn't work. They shouldn't study. They should not use the bed for anything but sleep, because then the bed suddenly it's very confusing for the brain, because it's used to seeing all sorts of other things happen while they're lying down, as opposed to no, this is what this is supposed to be for, and that's to sleep.
And they have to stick to a schedule, that's for sure. You know, what about things like, you know, naps? If a teen took a nap, would that help or hurt the situation?
Well, many kids, as the kids' bodies are growing so much during puberty, some kids get more tired than others, and some really do feel like they need a nap, and parents are so reticent to wake them up when they lie down, but really, honestly, they shouldn't sleep more than 20 to 30 minutes, and then as hard and as painful as this is, they should be woken up and then go back into a routine of getting ready for dinner or getting their homework finished before or after dinner. They really should not sleep more than 20 to 30 minutes, because that just kickstarts, again, a melatonin surge, which really will allow a kid to sleep and sleep and sleep, and then they wake up and then they can't fall back asleep again until 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they're in this vicious cycle of sleep deprivation.
Now, we only have a minute left, but we should point out that kids and caffeine can have something to do with that too. So keep your kids off the caffeine. And Dr. Bruner, give your best advice for your children's sleep, your teenagers' sleep, good, bad, or indifferent. Do parents let it happen how it happens, or get involved in the process?
Well, I think the best advice I can give, Melanie, is for parents to model good sleep hygiene themselves. I think that us as parents really need to teach our kids. If there's one thing we can teach our kids, is how to get themselves self-soothed, get themselves to sleep. So on our own docket, we need to make sure that we have all electronic devices turned off, that we, you know, use the bed just for sleep, that we don't get most of our work done in the middle of the night, because the kids are aware of that at some level, that we model good sleep hygiene efforts, and that we get kids to bed at a reasonable time, and when we wake them up in the morning, we open the curtains and let the light in.
That's great advice. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. I'm Melanie Cole. Stay well.